Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time, and I'm Rusty. Today is Thursday, my favorite day of the week. And as you know, every day of the week is actually my favorite. But today is extra special because I get to bring you amazing people from all over the world to share, live, thrive, motivate, inspire, challenge you to change your personal narrative. That is my goal. And it's been so exciting. Today has been just back-to-back with radio shows and meetings, and oh my God, it's so exciting. I can't even tell you. Well, eventually you'll learn. You'll know because, well, I've got 4 podcasts I'm getting ready to go on. We're trying to schedule in between my podcasts, and it's just been crazy and beautiful and delightful and delicious and happy and wonderful, and it's all because of you. So keep writing, keep commenting, keep sharing. That's how Living and Thriving grows, is when you share and it helps somebody else. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you, more so thank you. So today's disclaimer, I'm going to be very clear. Tara is a friend of mine. I absolutely love her. She's an amazing woman. She does some amazing things, and she is here on the show today to share what makes her an allergic traveler. Tara, are you there, my friend? All right. Well, she will be here in a minute whenever the computer decides to unmute her. It'll happen. Just slower than death. But until then, just know that today has just been like this crazy, amazing day. I was on Phil's show this morning at 10, or was it? No, but yeah, 10, 11, I don't know. And then I have another podcast that I'll be on, and it's crazy, crazy, crazy. I don't even know where to begin. It's exciting and adventurous. About an hour ago, John Polish was on. He is the happiness guru. He does an event in L.A. Vegas. It's in Vegas. It's a conference to be happy, and you guys should check out the show at 1 o'clock. He was really amazing to talk to, and what a great story he has. Tara, I'm trying to get you on, sweet girl. The computer's just doing that little swirly thing where it goes round and round and around and around like it's lost somewhere. I don't know, chasing its tail. Do computers have tails? Mine does today. All right. This is actually kind of hysterical. Poor Tara's never been on a podcast before, and she was a little nervous, so this just should really make her very nervous at this point. Sweaty palms, the whole thing. She got a big show this weekend in North Carolina with my friend Nikki, who's been on the show before, Nikki Everett. She does an allergy conference that I speak at once in a while, and Tara's going to be there. And it's just really exciting what people are doing in regards to supporting each other with food allergies. And one day, the computer will let her on. Now my computer is showing me plus 7, 6 and some sort of algebra equation. Very bizarre. Hello? You're there. Oh my God, I was going to find you. Hi, honey.
I don't know where I was.
Well, the computer kept swirling and swirling, and then it gave me a 7 and a 6 and a plus symbol, and I'm like, all right, it's doing algebra now. What's going on?
I'm here. I'm like, Rusty, can you hear me? I feel like I'm talking through a tin can or something.
The Campbell soup can. Hi, honey. How was your day?
Oh, wonderful. How about you? You're busy, I hear.
Lord, girl. I can't wait to fill you in. It's been it's been amazing, and I'm very grateful. The world is definitely opening up some wonderful opportunities, and I'm ready. I'm ready. We're doing it.
I know you are. You got this.
Got it. I got it. Holding on to my big girl panties, but I got it. So as I told everybody, we are actually friends, so the conversation will be a little different than a normal guest, but I will start out with my famous three questions, which is, who are you, what do you do, and what inspires you to be you?
Okay, so who am I? Well, aside from being friends with you, I'm Tara Jakubiak. I run Allergic Traveler, and so Allergic Traveler is, as you know, a company where we make these cards for people to dine out so they can communicate their allergens, and we translate those in up to 20 languages now. We added 2 this year. And what inspires me? Well, probably the foundation of the company was all based on, I was amazed at how many people were limiting themselves to where they would go or where they would travel based on their allergies. And I thought, you know what, that's a shame. I mean, it's a big world out there. There's a lot to see. There's a lot to experience. And so it inspires me to be able to help push people outside of their bubble and to go, because, I mean, that's what I do. I'm always going. So I want everybody else to be moving too.
Well, and what I love about you is that you have 1.5 million allergies, and yet you still go out and do things, and you're getting ready to go to Australia, and I'm very jealous but very excited, and I can't wait for you to tell me all about it. But that's, you know, that's all the way across the world, and you have 1 million food allergies. It's staggering to think, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? Tell us.
Well, I am prepared. I have all kinds of, first of all, I mean, Australia obviously is an English-speaking country, so right there, that's a huge advantage. That's number one. Number two, they also fall under British rule, as you know, so they recognize top 14 allergens versus in the U.S. where we only recognize 8 allergens. So
right.
I do believe I'm going to be in excellent hands. But needless to say, I'm also going to, you know, be prepared, and I'm going to have my safe snacks for me. I'm going to get a bunch of snacks this weekend at the show. I heard you talking about it. I'm also going to make my own safe snacks. So if something should happen, at least it can get me through 1 or 2 meals. Obviously, Australia is a long way away, and we're going to be there for almost 3 weeks. And we're going to be in Sydney, Brisbane, and up in Cairns, like near the Great Barrier Reef. So I'm expecting the offerings of food and restaurants to be completely different in all those 3 areas. However, I have been doing my research already. I'm reaching out to a lot of local food allergy businesses in Australia, and everyone has reassured me that it's, I don't want to say easy peasy, but I'll be in excellent shape. I've been to plenty of countries where it wasn't so easy. So I think this, I'm not going to say a walk in the park because I don't want to jinx it, but I should be in good hands.
Well, and tell us exactly what kind of allergies you have. Everybody knows I'm a celiac and I'm lactose intolerant. Not a huge hurdle to jump through, but you have a few more than that.
I do. I was born with, well, you know, by the time I was 6 weeks old, they had uncovered that I was allergic to a whole list of things, being anaphylactic to eggs, nuts, mushrooms, and shellfish. And then when I hit my 30s, because aging is so much fun, I adopted a whole bunch of more allergies, like sesame and chicken and pork and garlic and soy. And then when I hit my 40s, I got even more allergies. The most recent I've uncovered is an intolerance as well to dairy. And so now I'm trying to navigate that world. It's been about 3 months that I've been diagnosed. And, you know, at first it was somewhat depressing and discouraging. And I love cheese. I'm going to say that, like, you know.
Yeah, I do too.
I had to go through the elimination diet, right? And so to be able to determine what it was that was the culprit, and I I got rid of gluten and the wheat, and I got rid of the dairy, and then started reintroducing things and getting tested, and all the tests pointed towards milk and cheese and all those wonderful things. And so I even asked my husband, I was like, okay, if you had your choice, what would you rather give up, wheat or dairy? And he looked at me as he's eating, like, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a glass of milk, and he's like, I can't do it. I was like, I know. So it's a whole new education. I'm starting over.
And do you think that once you have a food allergy, all of a sudden you're more sensitive to other, you're more susceptible to other food allergies? Or do you think that you just had the luck of the draw?
Maybe a little bit of both. Or at least I think it definitely makes me in tune to realizing it maybe it's not an allergy, but maybe it's an intolerance. Or if I get a stomach ache, you know, a lot of people get stomach aches after they eat something and they just think it's indigestion or, you know, they have gas or something. Whereas I'm looking at it like maybe that's something that doesn't like me, that doesn't agree with me, and maybe it's an intolerance. So I'm always playing detective. I feel like I'm in really good shape now that I've figured out that it is dairy and I'm able to move forward. But I would say, to answer your question in another way too, is allergies are a family affair for me. I have them, my sister has them, my nephew has them, my mother has them. So if I didn't have allergies, then I would think, like, what's wrong with me? Was I adopted or something?
You're really,
you know what I mean?
Baby.
Like, it's kind of expected.
So
we're all blessed with different things.
You're leaving for Australia in a couple of weeks, or a week, 2 weeks?
At the end of the month, so August 30th.
And next weekend, you're going to go and give Nikki a big hug for me, right?
I am. Well, and that's actually, it's this weekend. It's in 2 days. I can't believe it's already here. But, I'm excited about that because it looks like there's a lot of, and I'm sorry, let me back up. So that's a Living Free Expo that's being held in Raleigh at the NC State Fairgrounds. And there's always a lot of restaurants that are there because there's a lot of restaurants in that neighborhood that cater to allergies. But now it looks like there's a lot more food vendors there too. So I'm excited about that. And I'll be presenting as well.
Yay. Well, and I'm that's one show that I have not been to, and Nikki keeps asking me to go, and for whatever reason it just doesn't fit in the wheelhouse of crazy Rusty Land. But I'm hoping before she moves to England that I get an opportunity to go, because it just sounds like a great show and you get to meet a lot of wonderful people.
It is, and you know that, like, Nikki's done shows everywhere. You know, you and I met in Jacksonville, and then she does in Charlotte, and I can't even think off the top of my head.
The first one I did was in Connecticut.
Oh, really? Okay.
That was the first. Yeah, that was years ago. And then I've done the Florida one a couple of times. Where else does she do it? She does them quite a bit.
Yeah, I know she did, like, Vegas 1 year, and kind of a traveling roadshow, as I call it, and I enjoy it. It's very much a more local type show. It focuses on local vendors, local restaurants, local food manufacturers. You can find anybody there from, like, honey people to cookies or whatever, which is kind of what I like, as opposed to always going to these shows with these nationwide vendors and you kind of get lost in the shuffle at times.
Yeah, and I know that King Arthur, Bob's Red Mill, and who else? Oh, gosh, it's the not peanut butter stuff. The soap
Whey?
Peanut butter, I can't remember.
Like Sun
Is
Butter?
That one.
I don't know.
It's like Sun Butter, yeah. But they've been with Nikki for years, supporting her and supporting us, those of us with allergies. So very huge shout out to them in the first place. Very cool. Very cool. But I love doing the shows, and I know that. I think Mickey's there now, isn't she?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, I think Mickey's there now.
I talked to her earlier today. She says she was still packing. So, yeah, she'll be there. I mean, she has to be there. The media is going to be there. There's all kinds of different, you know, she's going to have different presenters. And so she's on her way, but I don't think she's there yet.
Now, and you leave tomorrow to head that way?
I'm quite tied up, so I'm not going to get there until right before the show, which is,
So
it's about an hour and a half drive for me, so I'm going to get up at the crack of dawn on Saturday and head that way.
Oh, okay. Not that far, then. What are you mostly excited about with the show and with what you do? And we haven't even talked about your cards specifically, but we'll get to that in a minute. What are you hoping to get out of the show this weekend?
I guess what I'm always interested in the most is hearing people's stories. Like, everybody has one, and it's always unique to them and what their journey is and how they're navigating through this food allergy world. I find it very, I don't want to say endearing, but when I meet these people that have just been diagnosed, whether it be themselves as adults or children, and they're quite fearful and quite scared, and to see them in this environment where they're given, like, encouragement and power and faith that they can do this and it is feasible, like, that's why I do this. I mean, it's to see how people, you know, start gaining faith and stop being so fearful.
I absolutely get teary-eyed every single time I go to one of the shows and I see the little kids coming in and they're confused and they're scared and they don't know what to do, even though everything there is gluten-free. Most of the time it's vegan, dairy-free. I mean, there's a plethora of choices and there's so many opportunities that people with food allergies don't get. And having a safe environment, having a knowledgeable vending team and the support is amazing. And just watching the little kids run up and pretty much can eat almost anything, it brings tears to my eyes because I know that that's not something that they get often. It's kind of like in the food allergy world, it's like Disney for us. Like, it's the first time you get to go see the Magic Kingdom. And as silly as that sounds, 90% of what we do as humans is share food. We have lunch together. We have dinner together. We have picnics together. We go to, you know, various events, and our communication and our community is surrounded by food, which is why I'm so fluffy.
Well, but, I mean, and I agree. I mean, don't forget holidays too, right? Like, we always celebrate,
absolutely.
Whether it be a birthday party with cake or Thanksgiving is food and Christmas is food. And there's such a stigma attached to food and celebration that immediately when a child can't celebrate or can't eat something, it's because it can't celebrate. And it's terrible. I mean, you're right. I mean, to be in this environment where the kids are just stuffing their faces and eating everything their heart desires is wonderful because it never happens, number one. And number two, like, it's only one day. It's not like it's a week-long affair. So why not let them live and be crazy and eat all kinds of things?
Exactly right. And, you know, it's their day. And what I think is abhorrent is the fact that we still have these egregious individuals who have an uneducated understanding of what food allergies are and just refuse to even consider food allergies in their restaurants or whatever. And I don't do business with them anymore. It's 2019 and here's reality. Most people have food allergies of some type. And quite frankly, in the gluten-free world, it's very easy to have a gluten-free kitchen. It's not rocket science. It's not hard. It's very easy. But having an old-school mentality meet new-school needs, that's been really a struggle, don't you think?
I do. And I think it's especially been a struggle in certain environments. So, for example, the academic world, while they're making great progress, there's still plenty of campuses that are not gluten-free or are not cognizant of all the food allergies and just kind of ignore it. On the flip side of that, I am very proud of the universities that are making progress and are having food allergy menus and gluten-free menus and so forth, and I think it's needed. I mean, like, it's archaic. Come on, it is 2019. Like, let's get with the program.
Yeah, when I first started out this journey, I had a doctor from Texas call and lose his noodle on me because I was just feeding into this Hollywood ideology of gluten-free as a diet. And said, well, unfortunately, I have an autoimmune disease, and I have to be gluten-free. I'm a celiac. Oh, no, that's rubbish. That's just Hollywood made-up story. And I'm going, but I thought you were a doctor.
Like, your doctor told you that?
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago, when I first started down this path, it's how Nikki and I met many years ago. And are you kidding me right now? You're supposed to be proficient in this. And then there are doctors who are saying that you're gluten sensitive versus a celiac, you know. And for me, it's you're either a celiac or you're not, you know, gluten sensitive. But that's just bruising your intestines. Like, you either have the autoimmune component or you don't. And
I agree.
It's fascinating how there's these layers of bullshit that we feed ourselves so that we can pretend to be like the normal masses, when in actuality nobody really should be eating as much gluten as they do anyway.
That's right? True. And why be normal? I mean, like, we should be true to who we are, period. I mean, like, What drives me nuts is when I go to a restaurant and they ask me, is this a preference or is it an allergy? I'm like, who would prefer this? Who would choose this? Who would sign up and say, hey, me, I raise my hand. I want to be gluten-free, egg-free, nut-free. Like, come on.
Right.
That's what makes me nuts.
It's not crazy as well, because it's like you know, if you're trying to reduce carbs in your diet because you're on the keto diet, don't do croutons. Have a salad. Don't go through the salad. I'm gluten-free. You're not. You're keto. you're carb reducer. You know, it distorts what those of us who have to live this way fight for. And it's nuts. So let's go to the next part, because believe it or not, we're halfway through the show. Isn't that crazy? How fast?
Wow! Yes.
That is right. It's crazy fast. Tell us who you are, where we can find more information about you, and what you're doing this weekend, because it's kind of like this is your commercial space.
Okay, great. So who am I? I'm Tara Chkubiak. And you can reach out to me via email if you want, or I'm on every single social media. The business is Allergic Traveler. My website is allergictraveler.net. And, of course, we're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And we like to have a lot of conversations and kind of discuss what's going on in the industry, whether it is travel-related, whether it's food allergy-related, maybe a combination of the two. And then to answer your other question, so I will be at Nikki's show, which is the Living Free Expo, that's going to be held at the Raleigh NC State Fairgrounds. And there will be a bunch of us presenting. There will also be a lot of vendors there with their products, anything from soaps and shampoos, because you need those to be nut-free and some of them dairy-free and such. To foods and snacks and sweets, and then there'll be a lot of restaurants. I have two presentations that I'm doing. I'm doing one presentation on traveling with food allergies at the beginning of the day, and then I'm doing another presentation at the end of the day, which is entitled Adopting Allergies Later in Life.
And the reason why I'm doing that one specifically is because I've realized a lot of people in the allergy community are, you know, they're doing all these studies and trying to figure out a cure to food allergies and trying to help their child outgrow the peanut allergy. But a lot of people don't realize that you can actually grow into allergies. And so that's what that presentation is going to be about.
I think that's really exciting because, again, it's still a there's a myriad of stuff that goes on. And nobody really, really fully understands food allergies, not even the chemists and the biologists and the gastroenterologists and all the ologists out there. We're still learning and we're still trying to figure out what it is that is, because this has become quite prevalent. There's been a huge insurgence. I have my own theories, but I'm not an ologist, so nobody listens. Right?
Do you want to share your theory?
Well, here's my largest theory is when we first started grunting and breathing on this planet, we didn't have items like corn and wheat and soy and all of that stuff 4 or 5 or 8 or 10 times a day. So we didn't have it in our laundry detergent. We didn't have it in our shampoos. We didn't have it in our, you know, clothing. So we're literally inundating our body with the stuff 8, 9, 10 times a day. Whereas back 2,000 years ago, we might have had bread once a week because, well, it was very expensive and hard to find. We might have had soy, but probably not. So I think the mass consumerism and shoving food in your face because it tastes good has really destroyed the ecosystem that covers our body and is inside of our body. You know, we're, like I always say, everybody rolls their eyes when I say this, but we're a big sack of water covered in a ton of bacteria and microorganisms and parasites. And we've slowly changed that chemistry by inundating ourselves with things that we normally never, ever would have had or would have had very infrequently throughout life. And, I just don't think that's really considered by a larger population, our science population, as much as it should be, because we invested as a country, we invested hugely in corn farming to develop new methods of that type of starch. And what has happened over the last 10 years, we have
No, I agree. I mean, like, I think our, I don't know if it's lazy or convenience. I mean, we've gotten into habits where we're always eating the same things, and it's, your body is not expected to do that. You need, first of all, you need the variety. And second of all, you need to make sure that you're getting the right nutrients at the right time. So if you're always doing the same thing day in and day out, you're not doing your body any favors.
No, exactly. And I think, you know, we literally put so much corn syrup. We put corn syrup in our paint on our walls. It's ridiculous if you were to look at it. It's everywhere. So now all of a sudden kids are obese. Adults are obese. We're eating and drinking stuff that are just garbage made. And it tastes good, so we do it because we're that species. And we wonder why all the food allergies are going up in huge increments. You know, it's not like corn allergies was a slow growth because of the genetic process. Corn allergies was a huge growth over a 15-year period, like quadrupled.
And I believe it. I mean, I think, again, it's based on the abundance. And the fact that we crave certain things, nobody ever craves, like, a green pepper or an apple or something. They're always craving garbage and sweets and such.
And so that's just another sign that, you know, we've destroyed our palate completely.
Right, exactly. And I will confess, because I think it's probably because I'm a clean eater. I love peaches. And when I smell a peach that's getting ready to, like, get too warm, oh, that's my favorite. I do crave peaches.
And did you get any peaches when you were in North Carolina?
Did not. I did not. We actually, we were going to come and see you. And then I was so tired that I started getting that googly eye, like, cross-eyed thing. So we pulled over. I was only going to sleep for an hour or two. Ended up sleeping 5 hours, so it put us a whole day behind. So
wow.
Home. I'm like, shit. I was so mad. But I was tired. I still haven't caught up for my trip this summer. I'm still exhausted.
Well, but you know what? You have to listen to your body. So if you're tired, you do it. Sleep.
Yeah. I slept until 8:30 this morning. I was unbelievably impressed with myself. Like, wow, that's cool. All right.
It sounds like luxury.
Wonderful... I know, right? I am worn out, girl. So you created these cards. Talk to us about the cards.
Okay. So essentially these cards are customized to whatever your allergens are. So in your case, it would be gluten and dairy. In my case, like I mentioned, be eggs, nuts, shellfish, whatever. And then we translate them. We work with translators. We'll never, ever use online translation tools. And that's because we've seen way too many mistakes over the years. So we make sure that it's authenticated and it's done by somebody that knows the importance of such a translation. And so we're always growing in terms of how many languages we're adding. Earlier this year, we were in Ohio, and we got asked for Korean. So we did our homework, and we found our Korean translator, and now we're offering Korean. Same thing with Afrikaans. That was another language that was asked of us. And so people can use them when they're eating out locally, because everything's bilingual. It's in English and whatever language you choose. And we recommend that you have it locally because it legitimizes your dining experience. People take you seriously. They don't think it's a preference or a fad. And then, of course, you should be using them when you travel because it makes everything safer and people believe you. The reaction of the waiters and or the chefs when you present the card, it's still, I don't know if it's mind-boggling or humbling, but I'll hand my card to a waiter and they'll run around the entire restaurant and show all the other waiters and they go in the kitchen and show the chefs. And like, it's not a $1 million winning lottery ticket here, people. It's just a card. And that's the reaction I'm getting. So, I mean, it's good that we're bringing more and more awareness to food allergy. So eventually I want it to be mainstream.
Well, and what does the card say? It just says that, hi, I'm a celiac and shellfish person.
It can say anything you want it to say. So it says, I am allergic to, and then you list all your allergies. You program it in our site, and you pick what you want, whether it be kiwis and papaya or nuts and mangoes and cheese, whatever. And then it translates the I am allergic into whatever language you chose. And there's also a cross-contamination disclaimer that is translated into the language that you choose.
That's very cool. That's very cool. And, you know, you've traveled most of your life. So what was the reasoning behind making these cards? What was the
motivation, how it started?
Yeah,
it started because we were going on a cruise. My husband is a big cruiser, and I am not. And so I told him the only way I would go on a cruise would be if we went to the Mediterranean so we could see multiple countries at once. And so we did. We went to Italy and Croatia and Greece. And, of course, I needed cards, and I needed to be able to communicate my allergens when I was stopping at all these seaports. And so I, you know, got a sketch pad and started doing it, and that's how it came about. And I had more and more people saying, hey, I would like some cards. Hey, can you do that for me? And then it just snowballed. And so now we're 8 years strong. We're still doing this. And every year I'm proud to say that business is up, and I hope it just continues.
I'm really super excited because you've helped how many people with your cards?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is. The answer is thousands. Specifically to how many thousands, I don't know. But, I mean, I'll be really, really excited when it's in the millions. I mean, that would be great. But right now we're in the thousands.
Yay. Yeah, but that's huge. That's big deal.
It is. And honestly, I mean, if there's 32 million people in the United States that have allergies, like, we haven't even touched it. You know, like, there's still so many more people that need to get our cards.
Yeah. And what's nice about it is, and just coming from, I come from the food industry background, but larger than that, I also am a consumer. I go out to eat. And there are times where you just want to be kind of discretionary. You want to be discreet. You don't want to make it into a big deal, you know? And I think the cards is a nice way of just being like, here's something kind of just discreet, and it's between me and the chef, and we're good.
Well, and it's funny that you touched on this. I don't know if I've told you this in the past, but that was one of the things that how we designed the cards. We wanted them intentionally to be discreet because a lot of our clients are, you know, business executives. It's not just children. And so a lot of them are business executives, and they will go out and have a business lunch, and they'll be sitting there trying to negotiate a $1 million deal, and they don't want everything to stop because of the food allergies. They don't want to stop the momentum.
Exactly right.
And so these cards have really helped them, and we hear from a lot of businessmen that say this to us, like, thank you. Between the businessmen that like it for how discreet it is and the teenagers who don't want the focus on them, it's kind of been a little surprise audience that we didn't expect to have.
Yeah, especially when you're a teenager. You know, I've met a lot of teenagers that have food allergies that are actually more angry with the allergy than they are their parents, which is unusual, you know.
I just think teenagers are angry as a whole.
Yeah, but they don't want to be different. They don't want to be pointed out, and something like that to help keep everything discreet is nice. You know,
it's true. They just want to fit in. You're absolutely right.
Now, where do we find these beautiful cards, young lady?
You can find them on our website. So it's allergictraveler.net, and you go under Order Chef Cards, and that's it. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. All right. So we have a few more minutes left, and give me one of your horror stories about having your allergies out in the world, and one really great story.
A good one and a bad one, huh? I got a lot of bad ones.
I know, I did
so,
too.
So a bad one would be, how about my honeymoon? So we were in Portugal, and my allergies consist of eggs, and nuts and shellfish and pork. And so that's pretty much the staple of the Portuguese diet. And so I learned that the hard way. And this is prior to Allergic Traveler. And while I was there, I couldn't eat anything. And I kept going from restaurant to restaurant. I either couldn't communicate or they didn't have anything that was safe for me. So I ended up eating green tomatoes, and I don't mean fried green tomatoes. I mean just green tomatoes and onions that entire trip, and I was so hungry. And so eventually we ended up back in Lisbon, and we found an Indian restaurant, and surprisingly I can eat a lot of Indian food. And so we went there, and I did everything I was supposed to. I went early before the restaurant even opened. I sat down with the chef. I talked to him about cross-contamination. I thought I was in perfect shape. And so we ordered, and halfway through the meal, I looked at my brand-new husband, and I said to him, we got to go. And so we ended up walking back to the hotel, and halfway back, I couldn't walk. He had to carry me the rest of the way, and
so when they got, they at the hotel, they knew that I was, we were on our honeymoon. So they're like, oh, that's so romantic. And he's like, no, 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 I got to get her in ice. So I got put into a bathtub full of ice and cold water, and I was trying to fight the allergen. When I'm having an allergic reaction, my body temperature goes through the roof. So I really need to be able to stabilize it and bring it down. And the following day, we were flying home. At that time, it was in Canada. And so because I didn't know the Portuguese hospital system, I wasn't comfortable. And so we came home. And once I was home, I called the restaurant back trying to inquire and said, like, we did everything right. I gave you my list. How did this happen? And so ultimately they discovered, and this is on me for sure because it's my body, the oil that they were using and cooking with was a shellfish oil, and I'm definitely allergic to shellfish. So live and learn, right? I mean, never again, but so thankfully now, obviously, my cards are available in Portuguese, but that's just one example of a horror story. And I guess in terms of good stories, I guess anytime somebody thanks me for sharing stories with them, because anytime I do a presentation, I always have people at the end of the presentation come up to me and say, oh, thank you for telling me about the shellfish oil, for example. And so they're always very grateful to kind of learn from my mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I find that rewarding because, you know, I don't want people to go through what I went through. I don't wish it upon anyone.
No, and, you know, it is what it is. You can't control it, everything. And I don't think people are intentionally schmucks and are careless. I do think there are some. In my particular case, my most recent one was I ordered a gluten-free Caesar salad. They came out with popular chain restaurant. They came out with croutons on my salad. I'm like, nope, sorry, can't do that. And they brought it back, picked off the croutons, and brought me the salad back. Now, fortunately for me, croutons leave a dust.
Yep.
So I could see that they picked off the croutons, which is a lazy and cruel thing to do with somebody with a food allergy. And so obviously I sent it back and I didn't eat it. But, you know, that happens. Stuff like that really happens where people are that, I don't want to say mean purposely, but maybe uneducated, not well trained, you know, and this is a national chain that supposedly caters to people with food allergies. So I really took it as the management didn't do their due diligence and train their staff properly. But it happens, you know.
It does happen. And it's one of the things that I say in the presentations that I never eat at big chain restaurants. For that very reason, that the personnel is not trained properly, or they don't care. Whereas if you go to a small restaurant that's a mom-and-pop type restaurant, they care. It's their reputation. And so they know every single ingredient that goes into every single dish, and they want to make it right because a lot of chefs think it's an honor to be able to cook for somebody that has so many challenges.
Right.
Whereas you never get that feeling at a chain restaurant.
No, but there are chain restaurants that I think do step up to the plate. This one in particular, I think it was just that particular location just really genuinely didn't care, which is sad, you know. And we run into that with food allergies. We run into people who are just very, whatever. You're full of it, whatever. Not important, you're not going to die. And you're like, actually, yes, I will.
Yeah. So how did you communicate it back to them?
I talked to the general manager, and he was like, well, take it off your bill, and then turned around and walked away. And I'm going,
but
that doesn't really solve this issue. But that was his answer. So, okay. And so I don't go to that particular chain at all because it's too painful. You know, I break out in light hives and my intestine literally closes off. So it's like having glass going through my stomach and my intestine for 3 days. And there's nothing you can do about it except lie in bed, writhing in pain until the amino acids pass through. I know people who literally will have anaphylactic reactions. I know people who have such severe hives that they can't even wear clothing. So there are varying degrees. Some people don't have such bad reactions. Some people know that they're celiac, but they're on the other end where it's very, very light symptom. Eventually, they'll catch up with those of us who have more of the extreme symptomology, but it's not worth it in the long run. There was, when I first was diagnosed, I didn't eat out for years, for the first couple of years.
How old were you when you were first diagnosed?
It was 6 weeks after Chloe was born. So ironically, I was diagnosed in the 80s with lactose intolerance. But from then to my adulthood, I had a plethora of issues, health-related issues. And in hindsight, now that I was diagnosed with celiac, we're like, oh, my God, this is all celiac-related my whole entire life. But at that time, they didn't have – it was called, you know, the it was like an elderly disease. I don't remember what they called it. But kids wouldn't get it. You know, that's something you would get it when you were older than 50. And this was the thinking at the time. So lactose intolerance is what I was diagnosed with. But in actuality, it was also celiac. So I'm just grateful for the kids nowadays that are diagnosed properly.
I agree. I mean, and it still works. I mean, it's still not always evident. It's not always the first thing that they look for. But, I mean, it's one thing I would definitely say. We've come a long way since allergies were first diagnosed. And I think it's still a field that there's a lot of research that needs to be done. And we got ways to go, but I definitely see progress in the past 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, I think the more and more we have conferences and shows and these conversations and we're in a place of educating people, the better and better the market gets. My second frustration in this market, and I don't know how you feel about this, is when we go to these shows or we go to these events or we're talking to other vendors, the majority of the products, at least in my world, the lactose-free, gluten-free world, it's all sugary. It's like donuts and cakes and cupcakes. And yeah, granted, that's great. But when I'm thinking gluten-free world, like I'm thinking of real food, not these sugary things.
I agree full-heartedly. And I think it stems back from the whole idea of food and celebration. And so they feel, you know, like the birthday cake, they're trying to replace that and substitute that and such. I will say, too, though, as we age, we don't like sugar as much. You know, obviously, when we're teenagers, we can't get enough sugar. So if they're catering to that market, fine-ish, but they need to start catering to a market that wants to be either sugar-free or sugar-conscious or something, because yeah, I agree with you completely. It's so overdone. It's all sweet. And I'm like, what? Why? Why do we need to keep adding sugar to everything?
Well, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, the majority, and like we started out the show talking about, the majority of our communication and community activities and family activities and friend activities is eating. We eat and we drink and we be merry. Thousands of years of training, right? So I get the fact that we want a donut or we want French toast or we want like a cool birthday cake, whatever. That's awesome. Totally get it. However, we're feeding into the mindset of crap eating versus good eating. And I think that organizations and the mindset needs to kind of change past that birthday cake holiday splurging into – healthy eating, clean eating, what does real food mean versus, you know, what some people do with the drive-thru. And I would like to see the industry change more into just, in general, healthy eating versus, you know, let's pick up a cupcake here and woohoo. Because granted, everybody wants a cupcake once in a while, but that's not eating and that's not changing overall habits, nor educating in a manner that's healthy overall. But that's just my spiel. That's my second pet peeve.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm on board with you 100%. 100%. We don't need it. I mean, it's so unnecessary. And it's so much sugar. And coming, like, listen, I've been in the U.S. now for 11 years. I'm originally from Canada. And so when I first moved down here, I was amazed at everything that they put sugar in. I mean, it's not just the sweets, but when you find sugar in, like, salad dressings, I'm like, why are we doing this? Why do you need to put sugar in a salad dressing? So it took a lot of getting used to, and I think my body probably rebelled for a bit because, again, like, even just growing up, when my mother would make desserts for me or she would make banana bread and the recipe called for 2 cups of sugar, she'd immediately cut it in half. And that's just, I guess, what my taste buds are used to. And they don't want all this sugar and so much sweet.
Yeah, and again, there's an appropriate time and place for it, but I think that we should really focus on clean living, clean eating as a whole.
Yes.
And I look forward to seeing those changes.
Yes.
That's,
I think,
my
we gotta
hope.
Be patient.
Throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. Throwing it out there, girl. All right, mm-hmm. My friend. So we are wrapping up the end of our show, and it goes by fast, doesn't it?
It sure does. I can't believe it's over, but thank you for having me. This was great.
Well, I am so grateful to have the time with you, and I'm so grateful that you get to share your story, and I want you to tell everybody where we can find you again. And give us, like, 3 tips of advice on traveling with food allergies, because I love to travel. You obviously love to travel. And sometimes it's a hit or miss, but you can always stay positive, and there's always things you can do. It might not be convenient, but you can eat. It's not a big, huge
sure.
burden. But
absolutely.
We have about 4 minutes, so go, girl.
Okay. So let me start with the tips. Here's 3 tips. I'm going to have a lot more during my presentation on the weekend, but just as teasers, 1 tip I would recommend is to find out, 1, if you have to take allergy medication like Allegra or Benadryl or whatever you need to take. First of all, find out if it's available in the country that you're going. That's 1. And then 2, find out if it's over the counter or if you need a prescription. 3 is find out the name of it. Because, so for example, if you go to France and you're looking for Benadryl, France markets Benadryl as a sleep aid, not as an allergy medication. So they actually have other allergy medications. So these are things that you need to know before going to wherever you're going. That's one recommendation with regards to medications. Another recommendation is to know your emergency numbers. So in the U.S., everybody knows that, you know, we have 911 and the police show up or the ambulance or whoever. Whereas I'll use France again as an example because my sister lives there, but France has multiple different emergency numbers. So they have 1, for example, for fire. They have 1 for medical. They have 1 for police. And unfortunately, they also have 1 for terrorism. So these are all different numbers. And if you're having an allergic reaction, you don't have time to figure out which number you need to call to get the ambulance there. So know your emergency numbers. And then my 3rd tip I just learned about recently when I was in Ohio doing a presentation is these toaster bags. Have you seen them or used them?
No.
Okay, so they are specifically for pretty much people in the gluten-free world. If you're staying at a hotel that has a breakfast in the main area, or if you have, you know, you're staying at a hotel with a kitchenette, and there's a toaster in there. Well, they have these toaster bags that you can buy on Amazon that you put your gluten-free bread in, and then you can put it in the toaster. So it protects your bread from getting cross-contaminated with gluten bread. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, but what are the bags? Yeah, but I always kind of scratch my head going, what are the bags made of? And what
everybody asks that question. I have no idea. I know everybody wants to know that, and I'm like, I don't know. I haven't tried them. I haven't. I got to stop telling people about the tips until I try them. But I was just really amazed.
No, because
that
I won't even use those new steamer bags where you can steam your vegetables in the bags in the microwave. Like, there's got to be something in there that I probably don't want in my body. I don't eat canned vegetables either. So, like, I'm just one of them.
No, but it's good. I mean, you're doing everything right. So, yeah, I need to figure out about these toaster bags and what they're made out of. It's kind of a frightening thought because obviously it's not paper. Paper would burn. And it's not plastic because plastic would melt.
Because
so
plastic
somewhere
would melt.
In between. Right.
Right. So what's,
I don't know. It might be made out of bamboo or something. I don't know. Like, it could be anything. So I'm going to have to research that.
12-pack toaster bags, reusable for grilled cheese sandwich, nonstick toaster bag made of premium quality.
That doesn't tell us anything.
That was... Made of premium quality.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm made of premium quality. So are you.
Me too, girl.
I know.
I'm made of a rainbow fluff.
Pardon me. So
it won't tell me.
I guess you're going to have to call the company and find out what they're made out of.
Yeah, all I'm getting is non-toxic, non-stick bag, and toss it in your toaster. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll have to dig into that more. That's interesting. I didn't even know they existed.
No, neither did I. I was like, I wonder what that's about. So those are a few tips that I can share. And then, of course, our products are available all online. So allergictraveler.net.
And where are you going to be this weekend, my friend?
I'm going to be at the Living Free Expo at NC State Fairgrounds and presenting on traveling with food allergies and adopting allergies later in life.
And that's in Raleigh, right? Raleigh, North Carolina?
That's in Raleigh, yep.
All right, my friends. I love you. You are beautiful. Thank you for all that you do. Big hugs. You've got to call me and let me know how Australia went. I'm so jealous. It's going to be wonderful. Such a good time.
I will.
Lots of pictures.
I will.
And have a great time this weekend. And give Nikki and Doodle Bug a big hug for me.
I will. I will, absolutely. And Rusty, thank you for all you do for our community. I love you and you're a rock star.
Yeah, I love you too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty. Today's Thursday. That was my friend Tara, who is a kick-ass NF. I'm just so proud of her. She's doing amazing things for amazing people. Thousands of people helped so far to date. God, I just get so excited about this show. I would love to do this twice a day, every day for the rest of my life. Super excited. Love, love, love. Anyway, until next week, I have some amazing guests on next week. You'll have to look at the calendar lineup there. Make sure you hit follow so whenever the show goes on, you'll be reminded by email or by text that the show's on and you should participate because it's always awesome to be here. I love you. You're beautiful. Take 5 minutes extra in your bed. Take 5 miles slower in your drive. Just take 5 minutes, man. That's all you need. Regroup, regenerate, inspire, change your narrative, be motivational. Love you. Until next week.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.